Jesus, we praise you this morning. We adore you. We love you, and we thank you, God, that you first loved us. Thank you for sending us, Jesus, to rescue us from our sin and from the muck of life. You can set our feet on the rock, and you did. We praise you, and we worship you this morning. And all God's people said, amen, amen. You may be seated. It's always great to get in the Lord's presence and to worship him and to sing praises to his name. Amen. Praise God. Well, this morning, as I mentioned at the outset of the service, I want to say that I'm really excited to share what I have to share this week and next Sunday, as I'm sharing a series of sermons, these 2 weeks, of where we're going as a church. Basically, some Vision Sundays about where we're heading as a congregation. Over the last number of months, I came here, for many of you are aware, I came here in January. And so I had an opportunity over these last 8-9 months now to listen. Listen to what's going on here, the stories of the history of Clay House, stories of each of you as individuals. And I've had a chance to meet with ministry leaders and get a grasp of what's going on, to be able to kind of see what's going on in the life of the church body. And not only have I listened to you, but I've also had a chance, we, myself and the elders, we've had a chance to listen, most importantly, to the Lord and seeking him and saying, Lord, what have you called us to do and to be? And so over the next couple of Sundays, I'm going to share some of the things that God has been speaking to me and to us as leaders. And it's critically important. I think it's very important, particularly as a new pastor, that you come in with a listening ear. There's a lot of pastors sometimes that make the mistake that they want to change everything and turn everything over. And people are like, what's going on? I don't know what's happening. It's critically important that I listen and see the things that God is already doing. And the wonderful reality that I know since I've come here and I've known before I came here is that God was working well before I came. And I need to recognize that and be able to celebrate that and to affirm that and say, Lord, what are the next steps that we as a church can take in moving ahead? So I'm going to share this morning and next week some of the things that God has been putting on my heart. You remember way back in January, I at the congregational meeting, and that particular Sunday, I had a chance to share a little bit of a vision for 2017. And if you'll remember, I used the image of a trellis and a vine. For those of you that were there, remember that. The concept is that the vine is the place where the life happens, but the trellis, you think of the trellis that grows in a garden or next to a house, it's a support structure that enables the vine to grow. And so really what the trellis does is, even though the life isn't in that, it helps and enables further growth. And so as I shared at the beginning of the year, one of my first priorities and desires for this church, not to say that there wasn't a trellis to begin with, but I asked questions like, how can we continue to enhance and grow this trellis in the sense of building it into a structure so that the vine and the ministry life can grow and expand here as a church body? And so that's one of the priorities that I've had to this point this year, and I'll continue to do that as we move ahead as well through the remainder of the year, just to kind of get things together so that we're enabled to grow as a body in the ministry life of the church. The life is not in the trellis, the life is in the vine. But we need to make sure that we can support the vine so that as we continue to grow, God's hand will continue to guide us and direct us. And so my aim was really to provide structure and organization so that it can support the work of the ministry. We want to be careful that we don't overstructure it to the point where we suck the life out of it, but we want to just have something in place that would enable things to grow. And so as leaders and elders here at the church, we've taken time to kind of go back to the drawing board and really look at our documents, look at our mission statements, our vision statements, our values, and really ask a lot of important questions. In other words, who are we at Clay House? What is our mission as a church body? Why do we exist? These huge questions that govern who we are. And is there anything that needs to be tweaked or adjusted or changed? And so we began asking a lot of those questions. We had a retreat way back in May. And so we were able to sit down together as elders and pray and seek the Lord and just kind of stew on these things and let it simmer in our minds and just consider, God, what is it that we're about? Where is it we need to be going? And so we began having many discussions. And I will say that God has been leading us. As we've been praying and as we've been seeking the Lord and having some discussions together, I'm encouraged to see how God has been directing us. There's a lot more that I believe God is going to continue to speak into this church body as we continue to move ahead. But sometimes you just have to take it one step at a time, don't you? One step at a time. I think, for example, if I like to get on Google Earth. Sometimes if you get online, you can see, if you zoom way out on Google Earth, you can see the whole whole Earth. But if you zoom in to the closest one you can get to, you see you can almost see your car in your driveway if you zoom right in on your house. And the truth is, sometimes when God leads us as a church and even as individuals, sometimes he'll give us the big picture of where we're going. But as we go, God will continue to zoom in and begin to show us what was always there, but it'll begin to give us clear focus and direction and as we move ahead. And so even though the things I'm going to be sharing today are things that God has been speaking to us, we still want to have our ears attentive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, that we would be sensitive at all times in hearing his voice and discerning God's will and God's way in this church body. So this is not just a one time and you're done in seeking the Lord. This is a continual call to action to seek the Lord, that we continue to press in continually to draw near to his throne of grace. And so I, as I mentioned, I'm excited for the things that God has in store for Clay House. One area in particular that we felt that we needed to make some changes was in our logo design and branding, if you will, as a church body. We've been praying about this. We've been seeking the Lord and just kind of stewing around in some different ideas. And we wanted something that could express the DNA of Clay House. And I do want to say, as we've gone through this process of just thinking about, okay, what do we want to present as we go forward, and how do we want to look as far as our appearance? This was a process that we went through. It took a lot of time. We consulted a number of you. We actually had some panels that we put together, and we actually got your thoughts on various logo designs and got your ideas and feedback. So we had men and women, young and old. We had a lot of different people weigh in this process. And so I'm excited this morning to show you something that we're excited to unveil this morning. We wanted to do something, first of all, with this logo design, something that would be simple. That's kind of really, we think about the DNA of the church. We're just as we are. We come together and we worship the Lord. We wanted to be authentic in the sense that we wanted something that adequately expresses who we are. And we wanted to be unique in how God would have us show his call and his vision to this community. And so this morning we're going to unveil our logo. So we're excited for what God is going to do. I'm thrilled for it, and we're going to just see God work. And, you know, even with the branding change and adjustments as we move forward, the most important thing that we need to look at as we move ahead is not just the branding and the logo, but also, more importantly, the ministry side. We want to make sure, yes, there is the logo and so forth, and that's great, but the other more critical thing is that we move forward as a church body and share the ministry of Jesus Christ. And we have some things I want to share. And so I'm going to take a lot of the time this morning, basically the rest of the sermon this morning, to share the ministry vision and process as we move forward as a church. And I want to just take, as I said, today and next week, and also the membership class next Sunday. Again, I want to highlight, if you can be there that time, we're going to have a lot more time for Q&A. We're going to have some discussions. We're going to get a little bit more in depth for some of the things we're going to be talking about today and next week. But I want to invite you to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. Matthew 22, 34 through 40. Some of you may ask, well, what is the mission of Clay House? Why do we exist? Well, this is the same mission that we've had for a number of years now here as a church body, to love Jesus and to make his love known. That's something that as we as elders have been praying about and seeking the Lord's direction, we're saying, God, what is it you've called us to do and to be? And this is what we should be about, to love Jesus and make his love known. Well, in Matthew chapter 22 here this morning, I want to read to you a passage of scripture that really conveys why this is a critically important thing that we must do. Matthew chapter 22, Verse 34 says this, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.'" Now I want to just share a little bit of the context here as we're jumping in the middle of Matthew's gospel. It's important that we understand what's going on here and what's taking place. The context of this passage is that there was actually a debate going on regarding the issue of the resurrection of the dead and whether or not it was actually possible. And so the Pharisees, who were the Jewish religious leaders at the time, believed bodily resurrection was possible. But the Sadducees, also Jewish leaders of sorts, did not believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. And so they did not believe in the resurrection as the Pharisees did. And so they asked Jesus that question. "Jesus, what do you believe about the resurrection?" And Jesus actually agreed with the Pharisees. I know you can mark it in your Bibles here. That resurrection, yes, indeed, is possible. And so in verses 34 and 35, we pick up at the end of that debate and that discussion. And the Pharisees were inwardly rejoicing that Jesus had agreed with them, but they still wanted to catch Jesus in some type of a fundamental error. Because if Jesus gave a wrong answer, they could use this against him and somehow get rid of him. And they were intimidated by Jesus. The reason why they wanted to get rid of him is because they didn't like him. They wanted to remove him from the scene. And so it says here in verse 34 that a lawyer says, "But when the Pharisees heard this, they had silenced the Sadducees and gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him." A lawyer would have been an Old Testament expert in the Mosaic law. He was a Pharisee, as that's evidenced here in the passage. But he was asking this question to Jesus to test him, to try to trick him, to try to make him eat his words, as it were, to get him to say something that he would stumble over and mess up his ministry. And, you know, it's interesting that as Jesus gives his response here, he really knows how to silence his critics. The teacher, he asks, "What is the greatest commandment in the law?" Now, it's interesting, as he asked this question of Jesus, we should note that there was considerable interest in rabbinic traditions or discussions at that time about that particular matter. Jews actually made many distinctions in the commandments of God, calling some commandments weightier and some lighter. They called some little and some great. So this was a rather hot topic of debate at that time. So they're asking Jesus this question, which is the most important, Jesus? Look at his answer, verse 37. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment." So Jesus, actually what he's doing is drawing his answer from what is called the Shema. It comes from the Hebrew word to hear. It comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And this was actually recited by the Jews twice a day. It was very familiar to most all of the Jews. And it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Actually, that it doesn't literally say strength. It actually means "and all your very much" is the interpretation of that. We just interpret it strength. But to love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and all your very much, all your strength, every part of who you are, love God, honor him. And this obviously would have been a very good answer for most of the Pharisees and the Jewish people there. Not that Jesus was trying to please them. He had plenty of things against them in many other discussions. But Jesus is God in the flesh, and he's speaking truth. If you want to sum up all the law, you need to love God. And then he answers the second part in verse 39. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So this is kind of a second companion commandment that Jesus offers that is linked with the first commandment with the words "you shall love." And Jesus draws from this second commandment from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, and Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34. And so Jesus is saying, if you want to fulfill the law and the prophets, if you want to sum it all up, it means loving God and loving people the way God intends you to love. And there's, as we see in this scripture, there's kind of a vertical component where we love God, and there's a horizontal component as well. Now you ask, okay, how does this apply to Clay House here? You know, our mission statement is to love Jesus and make his love known. It means, first of all, that we have to recognize that God first loved us, that while we were yet sinners, he sent Jesus to die for us. So it's not like we can love God apart from his grace. But when we receive his grace, he enables us to love him, and that we, because we love him, we can love other people as well. So as a church body, our aim is to have a vertical component in the sense that we're a worshiping community that makes the worship of God alone our priority in the worship of Jesus Christ, and to love God, but also to extend that love to the world around us, to extend that love to our community, to extend that love to our city and our neighbors, that we would get engaged in what's going on in the life of the people around us, that we would show them the love of Jesus. Because God has first loved us, we can love others as well. Dennis, if you read 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 through 21, listen to what is mentioned here.
We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother.
So our mission is to love Jesus and to let his love spill over to other people, that they would see the love of Jesus in us. Jess Morty once said, people don't go to where the action is, they go to where the love is. The call to love is not for the half-hearted. It is a full-time, lifelong vocation. It's true. You know, designer clothes, if you think of it, are known by their trademark designs. If you can know it, the shirt is Tommy Hilfiger or Ralph Lauren or something, because they have trademarks that are very visible and very identifiable for those people that are looking for those particular things. Actually, people who hold office, you think of a judge, they're known kind of by the things they wear, or a police officer, or a doctor. The way that people dress, you can identify them. But what Jesus is making very clear is that the way we dress as Christians, not physically, but in the sense of the way we live our lives, the most identifiable trademark of the Christian is love. That we love God and we love people. And my prayer and my desire for this church is that the love of Jesus would so take root in our hearts and minds and souls, that all of our being, that we would love God the right way, and that we would love the people around us and see people through Jesus' eyes. That we would love people who maybe are different from us. Love people that come from a different racial or socioeconomic background. You know, as you look in the news today, you can see all different types of animosity towards people of different ethnicities and races and so forth. But the call of Jesus, the call of the love of Jesus, is to recognize that we are one in Christ. That we are one. It's not about skin color. It's about what Jesus has done for us. And the only separation of colors there should be is in the laundry machine. There shouldn't be any other separation any other way. The church body ought to come to a place where we can come. All different types of people, all different types of backgrounds, whatever your story is, I want to say this very clearly. You're welcome here at Clay House. You're welcome here. You're welcome to see the love of God in action. And this is a call for all of us, that the love of Jesus would take root in us and that we would let that spill over to others. So there's a vertical component of the love, the call to love God, but then there's the horizontal component as well, that the trademark of the Christian life, the way people know us, is by the love that we have for one another. And so our mission here at Clay House is to be a loving community rooted in Jesus' love for us. You know, as Isaac Watt once wrote in his famous hymn, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, and my all. So that's our vision, to love Jesus and to make his love known. Now, what is our unique expression of that? In other words, what is the fingerprint of God? If this is a governing kind of a vision of where we're going as a church? Where is God leading us as far as that unique expression of that mission, that vision? Clay House, this is in this statement here, if you want to pull it up. Clay House is to be a Christ-centered church bringing hope and healing to our city, Colorado Springs, into the world. You know, in recent months, I've been studying a lot about the history of the Christian Missionary Alliance. And I'll tell you, I don't come from Alliance background. So over the last number of years, over the last 10 years, I've done a lot of reading. And I just fall in love with the history of what is going on and with Alliance and the things that have been taking place. I've been reading a lot of A.B. Simpson, a lot of the things that took place in the first 20, 30 years. It was, not to say it isn't continuing to be a movement, but I love seeing the roots of something. And my desire for this church is that we would get back to our roots. That we would get back to our roots, not only in the Alliance, but ultimately in the Church of Christ. That we get back to the roots of being an Acts 1:8 church that is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we would be sending people out into the world, that they would be missionaries, and we would be sent on mission to reach people with the lostness, or reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and address their lostness. And I love A.B. Simpson and how he focused on Jesus. Jesus alone. We want to keep things centered on the gospel of Jesus. And so if you want to know my heart and desire for this church is that we get back to our roots. Get back to our roots even within the Alliance and the roots of biblical Christianity. That we don't just become a church that has a bunch of programs. Not that there's anything wrong with programs. But we become a church that is infused with the power of the Spirit of Christ. To be witnesses to this world. To be witnesses to our neighbors. To be witnesses around the world. And we will do what we can to see that the gospel is preached around this world. Amen? That we be an Acts 1:8 church, that we receive that power of the Holy Spirit and we be ready as a witness to other people. Not just, again, sometimes when we focus on Acts 1:8, he says, and you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And a lot of times there's a lot of Christianity that wants to talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit, and we should be, and we should talk and preach about the filling of the Holy Spirit. I'm sad to say, the devil wants to intimidate people to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. But to see that the Holy Spirit of Christ empowers us, not just so we can have spiritual picnics, as wonderful as experiences can be, but so that we would be witnesses for the gospel. I believe God has called this church to an aggressive form of Christianity. To aggressive Christianity. In how we love God, and how we love people, and how God has called us to be ministers to a world that so desperately needs Jesus. And I'm thankful to be a part of the history of the Alliance and being part of what God is doing in our midst. A.B. Simpson said, God put each of us here to be a power. He means every Christian to be effective and to make a difference in the actual records and results of Christian work. May God so fill us today with the heart of Christ that we may glow with a desire for holy desire. I love that statement. That would be about us. That we would be filled with the Spirit of Christ. That Jesus would fill every part of who we are and fill the spaces and the places of even our deepest brokenness. That we would see the love of Jesus. That Christ would rise above everything here at Clay House. That He would be above it all. A.W. Tozier said, we do not preach Christ with a comma after his name as though waiting for something else, or Christ with a dash after his name as though leading to something else, but we preach Christ, period. That we be about Christ. And that's my desire for this church, that we get back to our Alliance roots and we get back to the roots of the Christ life that we see happening in the early church. And our desire, my desire, is that we be filled with the Spirit of Christ, to see Him fill us, and certainly it's the Spirit of Christ. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except I who draw him, John 6:44. But not only does Jesus intend to save us, He desires to sanctify us, make us the kind of people He intends us to be, to walk in righteousness. I love A.B. Simpson in the sense he preaches the fourfold gospel, Christ as Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King. That we would be about what the Christ life here at this church body. So we're to be a Christ-centered church. In fact, Romans 1:16, Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes." Praise God. And when we are filled with Christ, we can be the kind of conduits by which his hope and healing can flow to reach others around us. Friends, we're not here to be a social club. We're not here to just simply sit around in circles, as wonderful it is to have fellowship and meet together. And we need to do that. We should not neglect the meeting together. But the church is not the building, it's the people. And that we go out and reach the people in our community. That we do what we can to seek meaningful relationships of people even that are not believers. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. He said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but it's the sick. Some of us need to re-examine our lives and our circle of friends and our networks and say, who are the people in my life that do not yet know Jesus? And what can I do to cultivate more meaningful relationships that they would see there would be some exposure? Again, witness cultivates witness. That we continue to let our light shine and not put it off its stand. To put our faith into practice. You know, in Acts 1:8, talks, as I just quoted earlier, about the call to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to reach, as he mentions, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. There's a sense where the gospel started in Jerusalem, it continued to expand out to the rest of the world. And that is why missions and outreach is going to be critically important ministry life of this church, in the sense that we're doing what we can to not neglect our city, to do what we can to connect with the people of Colorado Springs and the outlying area, but also praying about what God would have us do in reaching our district here in the Christian Missionary Alliance as we think about maybe other churches that need help, or what can we do to support or plant or enhance the ministries of our district. One particular thing, just going back to the issue of reaching our city, one of the areas that God has put a burden on my heart is for biblical hospitality. A number of years ago, I did my doctorate on the subject of biblical hospitality, and I did my thesis on that. What I would like to do at some point in the future is be able to communicate the things I've discovered in God's Word about biblical hospitality and how we can use our homes as ministry centers. And so when we talk about reaching our community, we want to incarnate the gospel to people around us. And one of those areas is going to include biblical hospitality, and how we can open up our lives to reach people with the gospel. So I'm excited to share some of those things as we look ahead. But also as we think about international and global ministries, we're actually in process right now developing partnership with France, the Alliance Mission Field in France. In fact, several of us are considering maybe early next year doing a vision trip to kind of look and see what's going on. The reason why we as elders have been praying about France is that many of you know the Linscombs that have been worshiping here at Clay House. They moved over last year, and we've had some Skype sessions, and I've had some chances to partner with them and to see what God is doing, talking with the field directors. And so we're looking ahead, and we're just prayerfully seeing what God would have us do. However that may look like. But I'll tell you, friends, not only do we want to be engaged in France, but we want to be engaged in what God is doing around the whole world and supporting our Alliance missionaries and so forth. And so that's been my prayers, that we would be a church of outreach, that we would be a church that isn't inward focus, but we would be focused on the people that are outside these walls, and that we would be a witness to our neighbors here in Colorado Springs, to our region, to our networks around us here in the States, but also around this world. I want to just briefly share a little bit of my heart, and just particularly as we're thinking into 2018. As I've been seeking the Lord and praying and just talking with the elders and saying, God, what would you have us do? I think sometimes what can happen, and just to know my nature, I like to sprint, in the sense I like to go fast and move fast and go ahead, and I have all my plans and schemes and programs. Okay, let's move ahead. But oftentimes, in the process of doing that, there's a plus side and a negative side to that. The good side is sometimes you can get things done. The dangerous thing is that sometimes you can run ahead of God. And it's critically important that we be in step with the things God wants us to be in step with. And that we wait for him. It's when we pray, it's not a matter of, Lord, bless what we're doing, But our prayer should be, Lord, let us do what you're blessing. And so where I believe God has been leading my heart, and the leaders were still praying about things as we come into 2018, I believe God is stirring our hearts to wait upon the Lord. Now, when I say wait, it does not mean that we cease from existing in all of our ministries and outreach and all that. I mean that we need to come to a disposition of saying, God, we need you. We cannot do anything apart from you. And, you know, one of the critical things we see in the context of Acts 1:8, and they received power, Jesus commanded his disciples to wait in Jerusalem and to tarry until they receive power from on high. And that there's a season and a time for going, but it's critically important that we wait and tarry and say, God, what is it you want to do? How is it you want to work? Lead us, guide us, shepherd us to the right place. Because I've discovered when you wait on the Lord and the Lord shows you what you do, he'll bless those things as you obey. But if you just launch out and do something, you end up sometimes looking like a fool, and then you get frustrated and say, God, where were you? Sometimes it's so easy to get caught up in the work of the Lord that you miss the Lord of the work. So where I believe God is calling this church as we look ahead to 2018, that we would get on our knees collectively and individually and say, God, what do you want us to do? How can we live out this Christ life? How can we follow Jesus more completely and get back to the feet of Jesus? Get back to his feet where we're discerning his will and way for our lives. That we know the heart of the Father. That God would stir our hearts to a place of fullness and completeness and being filled in him. Several practical ways that's going to be happening as we focus on prayer and praise. You know, some of us feel like we've been doing this for a while and we think that we're experts. But I'll tell you, friends, you know, if you took a cup and dipped it in the ocean and you say, wow, look how much water's in here. Compared to the ocean, it's not much. There's so much of the ocean of God's grace and mercy and the fullness of who God is. You know, we can't develop an attitude that says, I've been there and I've done that. Could it be that God wants to do a new thing? Could it be? Could it be that he wants to visit this church and this community and allow us to be a witness to this community, not only to the community, but let it flow to the rest of the world? I believe that's the heart of God. But the problem is, I do believe, that God does not have our undivided attention. Some of us are too distracted, and I'll be the first to admit that's true of me a lot of times too. Where I believe, as God has been leading my heart as we look ahead, is to get back to the feet of Jesus and say, Jesus, I want you to have my, I want to have a sense that there's no distractions. I want to be not pulled away from anything, but I want to be devoted and focused on you. And so I'll be sharing a little bit more about what that's going to look like. And as we pray about things next year of how things are going to take place, there may be a lot of practical things that we're going to be starting to do as it relates to prayer and worship and all those things. But we need to get to the feet of Jesus and understand the heart of God. And when we understand the heart of God, he'll give us a burden for those that are around us. You know, if you were not a basketball player and somebody handed you a basketball and said, okay, I want you to be passionate about playing basketball, you'd be like, passionate about basketball? I mean, you know, I can dribble, but I'm not passionate about it. No, that has to be something that's internal. You have to have an inner desire. There has to be an inner passion to begin with. And for some of us, we can talk about, say, oh, be passionate about reaching people with the gospel. Okay. We know that cognitively, but God needs to etch this on our souls. And it can only happen as we're at the feet of Jesus. It can only happen as we draw near to God. And God promises that when we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And so I'm going to kind of kick the training wheels off for some of us and push us and challenge us a little bit this upcoming year and in the years ahead. You know, like a bodybuilder, they need somebody there to spot them and push them and kind of add more weight. I want to be that type of person. We want to do that together, that we would spur one another on to places of righteousness and growth and being a witness to the world. And so we're going to be doing that in the weeks ahead. That's the first area that I want to just mention as we look ahead to the future. We're going to take time to be at the feet of Jesus, not just so that we can be at the feet of Jesus, and that's wonderful, but so he can send us into the world to do what he wants us to do, that we can be his grace and his light to other people, that we can show his love to them. And certainly Jesus is the center of our worship, of why we go in the first place. God has also been stirring my heart in particular as I've been, long before I actually came here at Clay House. And this is actually one of the reasons why I joined the Alliance in the first place. I love A.B. Simpson in the sense of his call to preach Christ, our Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King. And over the last 6 or 7 years, God has been stirring my heart, particularly in the area of healing ministry, in the sense of calling people to a place of praying for one another. When I say that, it's not just physical. The greatest healing miracle that can happen of a person's life is spiritual. But we cannot deny that God wants to make us whole. And I don't understand this, you know, all the things of God's ways. I don't understand his sovereignty and a lot. I see through a glass dimly, and we all do. But my prayer is that we would be a community of healing. The people that are broken with life, whether it be physically, emotionally, or spiritually, they can come and find a home here. You know, one of the most encouraging things I've heard over the last number of months, there have been several people that have come to me on several occasions, said, you know, Tim, when I've come here to Clay House, I'm new here, but I feel like I'm home. And we want there to be a sense where people come, they feel that they're home because they're at the feet of Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about any one of us, but it's about Jesus. And so when I say that we want to create a ministry and a place where hope and healing can happen, this can be a place where broken people can find the love of Jesus and the cleansing power of his blood, and that we can be healed from the inside out and trust his grace in that. And so that's my prayer, is that we would be that. And we would receive that healing that God provides, but we would also be the people that spread his healing power and preach the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's my prayer, that we would be that kind of church, that we would invite people to Jesus and he would make them whole. It's not about us. It's nothing that we can do. God knows that. It's only something that he can do. So our mission is to love Jesus and make his love known. And our vision is for Clay House to be a Christ-centered church, bringing hope and healing to our city and to our world. Now you may ask, what are some practical things that I can begin to do? And actually next week I'm going to be sharing a lot more. In the membership, I'm going to be spelling out a lot more of this in detail. But in other words, how do we accomplish all the things that we're talking about here at Clay House? Well, I want to just give you three things in particular. Number one, weekend gatherings. Every Sunday, we come together to gather in Jesus' name, to worship Jesus, to fellowship with one another, and to read God's word and to study so that we may grow. I want to just encourage you to not neglect this. Do not despise don't neglect the meeting together. God knows sometimes we have things come up, but I want to just invite you to be consistent as best you can to come to church. You know, I'll share you a story. There was a lady once, came, just said, you know, Pastor Tim, my college student, they're not serving the Lord, and they're not, you know, and there are a lot of times, sometimes we have kids that wander and then they come back, and it's not the result necessarily of bad parenting. We did everything we could to train you up in the ways of the Lord. But I do want to say this, be careful that in consistently missing church, you don't communicate to your kids that there are other options. And then someday you wonder, why aren't they going to church? You taught them it was more important to kick a soccer ball. You taught them that it was more important to do all these other things. And there's nothing wrong with kicking a soccer ball or going camping or doing all these things. But I want to just hear my heart in this. As a parent, be mindful of what you do and why you do it. Because sometimes we inevitably communicate something to our kids that we don't intend to. And it's, again, I'm not trying to communicate in the sense that if you have a kid that's not walking with the Lord, it was your fault. But I want to just say, let's not neglect the meeting together. Let's not neglect that time together where we worship, because we grow that way. So come to weekend gatherings. The second thing I would encourage you to do is join a small group. Again, this is a ministry of our church that's really the lifeblood of what we do and why we do it. This is a place where we can do community together and we can have times to share one another's burdens, to pray together, to love on each other, to be able to support each other in different ways. And so I want to just encourage you, once again, if you're interested in a small group, we're going to be kicking off small groups coming up September 10th. And I want to just invite you to be a part of one of those groups. Even if you've never done that before and the thought is a little bit of an intimidation to you, be willing to take that next step and say, God, what would you have me do in being a part of this church body to join in? So again, if you're thinking and considering about being a member, we're asking you to be a part of the weekend gatherings and to join a small group. Again, sometimes seasons happen where things are a little bit tougher to do that. I totally understand. But do the best you can to find a place and a time where you can connect with one another. And the third and final practical thing in which we live out the gospel of Jesus Christ is not only through weekend gatherings or Sundays, but also small groups, but finally, impact opportunities for service. I'll tell you, as I look out to all of you, I see a huge amount of potential of the opportunities that God has before us, the gifts and abilities and graces that God has given you. And some of us have certainly served and helped in many, many ways, but others of us have never had an opportunity. We're Christians, but we've never served in a church. And we've never come to a place where we've really feel like we have anything to offer. I believe what God wants to do is stir our hearts, to reveal the things in our hearts that he's gifted and graced us with. But I want to, as a pastor, empower all of us, and all of us as leaders want to empower you to serve as God has graced you. This is not a one-man show. It's not about me, and it's not about the leader. It's all about all of us, that we're the body of Christ, and each of us have a place and a gifting and a grace that God has given us, and let's put it into action. Let's not bury our talent. So those three particular ways that on Sundays, small groups, and service, that you can get engaged in the mission and the life of the church. As Augustine once said, one loving heart sets another on fire. I love the quote A.B. Simpson. He says, our God has boundless resource. The only limit is us. Our asking, our thinking, and our praying is too small. Our expectations are too limited. I'll tell you, dear friends, God is faithful. And my prayer is that we would be a church that would be so infilled and infused with the life of Christ that it would spill over naturally, not just to one another, but to the world around us. You know, as the worship team comes forward, my prayer and my reminder to all of us this morning is this. Not only are we to be filled with the life of Christ, but we're to be also reminded of God's faithfulness to us. That we be in step with God and what he's called us to do. You know, God is faithful. God is true and he's consistent and we can depend on God at all times. And we need to seek the Lord and say, God, what would you have us do in our midst and how would you work among us? And so as you're here today, not just thinking in terms of this church, but I want to just speak to you for a moment. Where are you with God? You know, all this can sound, okay, yeah, I agree, we should be engaged in mission. Yeah, I agree, we should be a Christ-centered church. But maybe the Holy Spirit would be speaking to some of us today, saying, is everything about your life focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is God receiving glory from your work and your family? I believe God wants to meet us. You know, as we think about the faithfulness of God, reminding us that nothing that we go through in life is too difficult for God, and he will give us the grace and the strength. And I'll tell you, I'm excited for the things that God wants to do here among us. But I'm also mindful that we need to seek God. Say, God, would you have your way among us? Would you show yourself faithful in every moment? Let's stand to our feet. And we're going to sing in conclusion the song Forever. And I want to just remind us as we sing this together that God is faithful and he will be faithful to this church. Amen? And as we do that together, that we would praise Jesus in everything.